Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Working from home and flexible arrangements with employers are pretty much part and parcel of a normal life for many of us post-pandemic, though one unintended consequence of this is that you can end up spending a lot of time with your significant other. And up till now, the impact on couples who spend all their waking hours next to one another hasn't really been that well understood, but a new study has assessed the impacts of the hybrid work on relationships. To find out a bit more, we asked University of Auckland researcher Dr. Joanne Mutta to have a chat to us about the study and what advice she has for those couples working and living together. I began by asking Dr. Mutta why she got interested in this subject in the first place.
First and foremost, I think that it wasn't working very well for myself and my partner.
Right.
The shared office space and the loud Zoom calls and the loud conference calls, and if we're both at home, who should take on the responsibility of going on the school run or going on to the supermarket? You know, it's supposed to be more flexible, but it was actually requiring more negotiation.
Well,
potentially creating conflict. And I figured, well, if it's a problem for me, it's probably a problem for other people.
That's the fascinating thing about it, right, is the dichotomy. You know, for many people, up to the pandemic years, work and home might have been like church and state. And while more flexibility now might be great, it can also lead to tensions that you might not have ever thought about before.
Absolutely. And we had a couple of like unexpected findings that are fine now that we found them, but it's not necessarily how people thought it would go. Like, for example, if one person has more flexibility, and often in a partnership, one person may have more flexibility, we found that that person actually ended up being the person who picked up the most in terms of the sort of life and family roles. And one of the arguments is that hybrid working has the potentially to help alleviate some gender equity issues, because the gender pay gap isn't about people doing the same job for different money. It's about women not having that opportunity to participate and that opportunity for promotion. And that's because they're paying for flexibility. But if everybody's using flexibility, then why would women have to pay for it?
Mm.
But we found that the person who had the most flexibility, which was often the woman because of previous sort of prioritisation of the male partner's career, they ended up picking up more of the slack, more of the life roles, and so it was actually perpetuating it as opposed to improving it.
Right. So is the idea there that, you know, you have more flexibility being sort of read subconsciously as like the duties that you have can be put off or moved around more, so if something needs to be done, then naturally you're the one to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and often that comes with potentially people who are not managing people yet or don't have as many sort of external clients or external meetings. So often it is not necessarily a leadership role. It might be a lower level role, for want of a better word. And so because you get that flexibility, you then, it's expected that you use that flexibility. And so it might take away your opportunity to actually end up in the management or leadership role. So it's the opposite of what we were hoping to find, but it doesn't mean that it's still not going to work. It just means you now need, people need to be aware of it and manage accordingly. That's all.
This has been it's been very interesting research to read through and apply to my own life. My partner works from home, and I would describe myself as an integrator in the two categories that you set out for people. Would you mind just explaining these terms, integrators and separators? These are pretty important for this wider discussion.
So everybody basically is one or the other. You're either somebody who wants to separate, even if going to work is walking down the hallway into the office in your house, they still want to start work at a certain time, solidly work, perhaps have a lunch break, and then end the work day as you would. Integrators, they, if the supermarket's not busy, they might pop there. They are happy to go on the school run, perhaps. They might want to go out to lunch with their partner, and if both of them are happy to do that, then that's a real benefit that actually a lot of the people we interviewed were enjoying. And then they go, I'm going to catch up later. So they integrate all of their life, and they're happy to, you know, use technology that allows them to read emails whilst they're at the supermarket, or, you know, answer and finish their reports at night in their home office. And so people have a preference. Neither is inherently better or worse. It's just about understanding who you are and who your partner is.
That's a very important part, right? Understanding who your partner is and having sort of a good dialogue about what your work preferences are, and how you intend to go about things in terms of alleviating those potential tensions that we talked about before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's about, you know, and I know that in any situation, communication is important in the partnership. But when those sort of boundaries between work and life are so much more blurred, successful communication and planning and organising and understanding the other person's obligations is so much more important. Equally, it's not just about having a diary. It's about, well, how do I communicate ad hoc on the day in terms of I'm free to go for lunch, or actually I'm really busy. And we found when we had couples that were, perhaps one was an integrator and one was a segregator, the integrator, you know, we had this one couple and he was like, oh, it's great, I pop into her office, we have coffee all the time, it's great. And she was like, I've had to tell him if the door's shut, he can't come in. So, you know, the shut door was literally her communication, but they just needed to establish that so that they both could work in the manner that they wanted to, and it actually not cause additional conflict.
That's a pretty elegant solution, really, and I applaud that particular couple. What are some of the creative solutions you have seen couples come up with, though, particularly when it comes to the idea of workspace? Because not every household has a dedicated office, right?
Yeah, we actually had a couple of the couples have purchased new houses.
Right.
Now, I realise that's not, you know, achievable for many people, but they had realised the importance of having that dedicated office space, and they were so committed to this being a sustainable approach to both of their careers that they literally purchased new houses.
And particularly, I imagine, for segregators, because the space that you are, you know, it's sort of like the medium is the message kind of thing, right? For a lot of people, you would compartmentalise space. You know, I'm in the office, therefore I'm there to do work, but I don't do work outside of this office.
Absolutely. And if you are a segregator, then you need that. If you're an integrator, you don't care, because you'll work at this, you know, you'll work in the office, you'll work at, you know, the supermarket, you'll work at the beach, you know, because that is your choice and your preference. It's interesting, though, in terms of those people who do integrate, recently Australia and previously a number of countries have started putting in that legislation, that right to disconnect, where they're saying, you know, we're going to legislate against companies allowing their employees to send emails out of work hours. But for people who want to integrate, you know, they want to be able to send emails, you know, at 9 o'clock at night. They're not expecting an answer, but to stop them from being able to do that, that's actually stopping them working in the manner they want to do and actually getting the most out of the flexibility for them.
You've talked a little bit about, you know, when it comes to childcare and so on and so forth. When it comes to sort of everyday chores and managing the household, keeping dishes done, keeping, you know, the house tidy and clean, did you come across any tension or dramas among the couples that you spoke to about those sorts of duties and the separation of duties in that space?
I did come across a couple of people who were like, you know, it hasn't changed, you know, I'm still, because the statistics simply are that the second shift lots of people call it, you know, the child care, the household duties, are predominantly still taken up by women, even in countries like New Zealand, where we think we're really egalitarian. The reality is they're still taken up by women. And a couple of the couples, that was a point of contention. But actually for many of them, because they understood that the point of hybrid working, if they could get it working effectively, was to allow them both to advance their careers, that actually a lot of the men were really good. They did perhaps feel it warranted telling me how good they were at doing it. It doesn't matter. They were still good at doing it, you know. So they had, it had made it more egalitarian, more equal in more of the couples than going the other way where it was more conflict.
Do you think there's such a thing as too much flexibility?
I don't know. I think it depends on who you are. I think that there are certainly discussions that go on from a organisational perspective that if people have too much flexibility and are able to work at home all the time, there may be organisational outcomes in terms of how we're going to get people to collaborate, how we're going to train new staff members, how we're going to upskill younger staff members. So I think that there are concerns from an organisational perspective. I don't think they're unsolvable concerns, but I think those concerns are valid. But I think for an individual, if they are someone who particularly who is an integrator, then no, I don't think there is too much flexibility.
See, I mean, I'm a unique case in this, but I think there was too much flexibility for me during the pandemic. I was hosting a podcast back then called The Detail, and I would find myself, because I really like the nighttime, I would find myself not really working during the day and then starting to sort of edit my podcasts at 9, 10 o'clock at night, editing them through to sort of 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, going to sleep, waking up at 10 or 11, and then going into the office to sort of voice them up. And while I kind of, I suppose I sort of, I chose those hours, you know, they're a consequence of my actions. I don't think they were very healthy for me. But then again, I suppose, again, that wasn't for a super, super long, long period of time, and that is an outlier case.
Interesting you say the healthy thing. One of the problems that actually possibly, in answer to your question about too much flexibility, and definitely something that we did discover, is that people aren't turning off. People don't have that cognitive switch that, the end of the work day, and so they're thinking so much more about work whilst they're at home. And that's a wellbeing issue. Even integrators need to turn off at some point in time. And lots of people, what they do is, you know, when they drive their car into their neighbourhood, that's, you know, that's the switch. I'm home now. And if you don't have that, then it can actually, you know, there could be well-being problems that could come out of it. And again, particularly if one of you's an integrator and one of you's a segregator. Like, we had a couple, and she was very much the segregator, but she said, but, you know, he's doing his emails at night, so if he's doing it, I might as well go back to work.
Right.
I mean, there's no way that that is healthy for her from a well-being perspective.
It's really interesting research. And in summary, you know, what advice would you give to couples who maybe are struggling to find harmony? Maybe they like the flexibility, but they are finding it difficult to find that harmony with one another.
The main piece of advice is understand whether you are a integrator or a segregator and what your partner is, accept that that is just what they are, and then start planning, well, how can we make sure that we can both cohabitate work-wise around that, you know? Because if you know what you are and know what your preferences are and what their preferences are, it's much easier to come up with, you know, ways you're going to do things, like the woman who shuts the door, you know? And I think watch out for perpetuating where one person was already doing more of the life family roles just because they had more flexibility. Because you may be actually making their work situation, it's not improving by them having the flexibility. And then I think the wellbeing thing is actually really important, because when we interviewed these couples, it was the thing that they did the worst.
Right.
They didn't know how to turn off because of those blurred work-life boundaries, and a number of them commented that they felt it was impacting their relationship and themselves from a wellbeing perspective. So you need to put in place some sort of practice. Some couples had, post-work debriefs before dinner.
Right.
And had a conversation and then went, right, that's it.
Mm.
We actually had people who did the, walk to the letterbox and back, and that's the end of my work day.
Mm.
Whatever works for you, but make sure you actually do, even if you're an integrator, turn off, or else the well-being impact may outweigh the potential benefits.
Super interesting stuff. Dr. Joanne Motta, thanks so much for your time this evening. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thank you.
That was Dr. Joanne Motta from the University of Auckland.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.